And what I try to do is to give the statements of each beatitude and identify opposing values in our daily lives, and what is the reward that God has promised to those who put in practice these beatitudes and to improve their lives. So I will first introduce the topic, then speak about the poor in spirit, then thereafter they that mourn, the meek, they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The introduction first. The eight Beatitudes are part of what is called the Sermon on the Mount, preached by the Lord Jesus Christ on a hill close to the city of Capernaum and covered in Matthew chapters 5 to 7, and in one part in Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 23. And in Matthew chapters 5 to 7, the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to practice the spirit of the Torah by helping them to see beyond the tradition of the elders and man-made rules and regulations. Disciples are taught in these verses a sound spiritual and practical ways of believers' life. The Lord did not present in the three chapters the way of salvation, but the way of righteous living for those who are in God's family, contrasting this new way with the old one that was that was practiced by scribes and Pharisees. The word beatitude comes from the Latin beatitude, meaning blessedness or happiness. The expression blessed are could mean happy are or fortunate are. And just think to what people think today as the happy life and compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ has taught during this time. The Beatitudes introduce and set the tone for Jesus' Sermon on the Mount by emphasizing the humble inward state of humans and the righteousness of God. Each Beatitude presents the ideal heart condition of a citizen of God's kingdom, or otherwise a picture of the true disciples of God and the related abundant spiritual blessings he receives. Today, the Beatitude provide insight into how Christians are meant to act and what they can expect in this life and the eternal life to come. It is therefore important for us to get a look to the Beatitudes to seize their meanings in our lives now and beyond. Capernaum is the city where Peter's family was living on the border of the Lake Galilee. And here is the temple where the Lord was preaching and sent Peter to go to the lake and take a piece of money in the mouth of the fish to give an offering. It is in this state, but they have built the statue of Peter's just beside that place. This one, it is not very well visible. And a few meters from there, the Catholic have built a very nice synagogue, and someone told us that it is the one of the best in the world. And to go to this synagogue, there is an alley, and on this alley they have put the posters of all the Beatitudes, the 8 Beatitudes, and they have put also this one and this one to show what you have to do to arrive there to visit. You can't be wear the short, for example. You can't have a gun. You can't smoke and all the things. We can't come with a dog and these kind of things. The first beatitude: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit are blessed. Who are the poor in spirit? It seems that humility is the closest meaning of poor in spirit. It allows us to honor God and understand our place in his kingdom. Our brother Doug earlier in his prayer said that we know our weaknesses. This is the first step for someone who prays, to know that I am unable to do many things. Only God can. Humility allows us to recognize our lack and inadequacy, prompting us to set aside ourselves and seek God for help and guidance. Verse in the Old Testament that relate to this is Isaiah 57. At the verse 5, it says this, verse 15. For thus say the high and lofty one who inhabit eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. In the world, in our world today, people are looking for personal pride and independence, not humility instead. God's reward for those who are poor in spirit is the kingdom of heaven. And how to develop this attitude? In James 4, it is said at verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not judge a brother. So, attitude toward God, attitude toward our brothers as well. But before I move on this morning, I had in mind another verse in the Bible, in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, that came to my mind many times. Chapter 3, verse 1, we start with this. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting, at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And if we go at the verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So this will come in many verses that we will see this morning. So the second one is, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Those who mourn, what is that? Given the context of this teaching, mourn here doesn't just mean regular sadness after the loss of someone. It signifies a deep regret and pain arising from recognizing one's own sins. Even though we believe in the Lord and receive forgiveness for our sins, allowing us to enjoy God's grace and blessings, we still find ourselves living in sin. We often commit sins, offending God, causing unbearable suffering. However, those who mourn don't sink into utter despair. Mourning relates to expressing deep sorrow over sin and repenting from our own sins. A verse from the Old Testament is Isaiah 61. Verse 1, we read this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." It is the Lord Jesus Christ who speaks. "Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." These were said by Isaiah about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oddly opposed value in our society is happiness of good fortune, or good fortune at any cost. So any cost, you have to be happy. God's reward for those who are mourning is consolation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." How to develop this attitude? In Psalms 51, verse 1, we have this: "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." Also, in the verse from James we read earlier, it is this, the same idea is there. The third beatitude is, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The meek, what is the meek? What are the meek? Is being quiet, gentle, and easily imposed on, submissive, or being patient in the reception of injuries. The meek are not weak. Rather, they possess qualities of humility, gentleness, and compassion. They do not center themselves, strive for power, seek revenge, or harbor jealousy. Instead, they approach others with love, humility, and peace. Most importantly, they approach God with reverence, sincerity, and obedience. The meek listen attentively to God's words and earnestly seek his will. And we listen to that by reading the Bible, by reading his word. The verse in the Old Testament, we find in Psalm 37 something that relates to that. At verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the weak, the meek shall inherit the earth. Worldly opposed value against the meek is power, sudden anger, malice, long-harbored vengeance. And God's reward for the meek is earth or land. And remember that Jews regard the land's possession as a great blessing. So when they say earth, it is a blessing. How to develop this attitude? In Matthew 11, verse 27, we read this. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal it him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. The Lord Jesus Christ invites us to imitate him. He is gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The fourth beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. What is hunger and thirst for righteousness? These are people who are yearning for righteousness in their hearts. They have the envy of righteousness in their hearts, seeking truth and desiring to walk in God's ways. In a world filled with sin and chaos, it is easy for people to fall into the pursuit of material pleasures and worldly gains. However, such pursuits only bring temporary satisfaction to the flesh while leaving the soul empty in pain. Verse in the Old Testament that has some similarities with this in Isaiah 4, verse 5, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Behold my servant, whom I uphold. This is Isaiah 42, verse 1. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. Worldly opposed value in our society today continues search of the satisfaction of personal needs. What is the God's reward for those who are hunger and thirsty for righteousness, society, and through inner peace and satisfaction? How to develop this attitude in our lives? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, we read this. But what things were gains? It is Paul who gives his own example. But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The fifth beatitude, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What is the merciful? The one who shows compassion to others. Compassion that is not merely an emotion. The one that is an active expression of care and practical assistance towards those in need. In a world filled with indifference and cruelty, Jesus teaches us the importance of having compassion for others. Believers personally experience his mercy, feel his presence, and find joy in his provision. In James chapter 2, verse 13, we read, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." And the verse of the Old Testament, Psalm 41, verse 1, says this: "Blessed is he who considers the poor." So considers the poor. "The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. He will not deliver him to the will of his enemy." And in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 26, "With the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd." Worldly opposed value that is observed in our world today, show of force without compassion. God's reward is mercy. Mercy. How to develop this attitude? Ephesians 5, verse 1. "Therefore, be imitator of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." The sixth is, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Pure in heart, it is an inner purity inward, striving to maintain a clear and uncluttered state of mind, seeking peace before God. And in the Old Testament, Psalm 24, at the verse 3, says this: "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sown deceitfully." Worldly opposed value in our society is acceptance of deception and faithfulness. But God's reward to those who have a pure, who are pure in heart, is possibility to see God. How to develop this attitude? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it is not known him." Because it did not know him. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. And the seventh is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And what is a peacemaker? Being a peacemaker involves not only practicing tolerance in our words, but also demonstrating sincere goodwill for peace from the depth of our hearts. This is an active force, a motivation to bring about positive change in our surroundings. Verse in the Old Testament, Isaiah 57, verse 18. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. I create the fruits of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Oddly opposed value in our society is the quest for personal peace, ignoring what is around us. God's reward is being called the child of God. How to develop these attitudes? Romans 12 has many things to say about this. Let us read a few. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by with good. In Hebrews 12, verse 10, it is said this, for they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best for them to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And the eighth, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Being persecuted for righteousness' sake, people following God, seeking justice, and walking the right path might be rejected by the world and might face persecution. They may encounter mockery, insults, and exclusion from people, and even face the threat of persecution and danger to their lives and the rule of Satan's power. The verse in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, speaking about the man of sorrows who was wounded for our transgression and was bruised for our iniquities, the Bible says this in the verse 12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And in Isaiah 52, verse 13, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. What is the situation in our world today? Weak commitment. People are deceiving so often. God's reward is kingdom, kingdom of heaven. How to develop this attitude in our lives? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, persecution, affliction, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. So the Lord delivered Paul from all this persecution. And in verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. What can we conclude with this presentation of the Beatitudes? The Beatitudes are profound and inspiring. They provide powerful direction for our life of faith as Jesus Christ's believers. These Beatitudes cover various aspects of life, from inequalities to our relationships with others and with God. Each of them indicates the impact of the related behavior that can lead not only to meaningful life in this world, but also can lay a solid foundation for entering the kingdom of heaven. It is important, therefore, to pray that the Holy Spirit helps each of us to adopt every day the attitude taught in the 8 Beatitudes to enjoy the benefits. Thank you for your attention.